Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, it is time for 5 o'clock Fast Track. And let's see, one side of the coin, John. My greatest Lakers of all time team is the best of the three of us. Other side of the coin, I crash and burn. Call it in the air.
You're going to crash and burn, which will be the heart of the bit.
Crashing and burning.
Sorry. I am not going to crash and burn. Ireland, it's to you to start.
Fast Track.
Okay, so I don't know if you did a lot. Like, were you pretty much looking for Fast Tracks all weekend?
Yes.
Okay, so it's harder now with no sports going on. It's like you come up with all this, like, crazy stuff. It took me forever. Okay, so I've got a lot of off-the-wall stuff today.
Okay, here's good.
Okay, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are catching heat for sharing tips on how to stop the spread of the coronavirus, including just asking people to wash their hands and not touch their face. Along with posting snaps of healthcare workers to their Instagram account, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex on Tuesday reposted advice from the World Health Organization on how to mitigate the spread, and this is what they wrote. Quote, "You may have seen or heard these before, but they are as important today as ever." So they've just put simple stuff down there, like wash your hands, don't touch your face. Followers immediately mocked the couple. One commented, quote, "You don't think we know this? Seriously?" Another one, "Do you think no matter what," or another person said, "How in the world can you continue to write the same things? This makes no sense." So here's my question. Do you think that no matter what these two do, because of how they left the royal family, they'll always be criticized for pretty much anything?
I'd actually go one step further. I think every famous person is going to get hammered for trying to step into this. I mean, we've already seen it with Gal Gadot. People who try to make jokes, people who try to do comedy in this era. Even if it's meant well. You know, I mean, anything, if Prince Harry and, I guess they're not even Prince anymore. If Harry and Meghan wanted to put out, reinforced guidelines, I mean, that's nothing that the rest of the world isn't doing. I think they're just resented because they're famous and they're people of privilege. You know, it's funny. Last night I was watching the Elton John concert, and the one thing that jumped out, and it was sort of everybody doing a performance from their home. Some people did it from really fancy places like Camila Cabello and who's her boyfriend? Camila Cabello and
she dated Shawn Mendes.
Shawn Mendes, like they were in front of a balcony and there was a chandelier, and then there were other people. Billy Joe Armstrong looked like he was in, you know, like the back room of a house somewhere. There was almost a feeling of resentment towards the people who are living fancy. So I think there's an element of that that's going on. It's really tough for a celebrity to step out there and to make public service announcements in any way right now, because they're viewed as being people of privilege who aren't actually living this in some way, which I think is unfair.
Funch.
Fast Track.
Hey, actually, Mace, let me get this out, Lindsay.
Okay.
Before you guys comment on anything, the Rams-Chiefs game is now kicking off on ESPN. So if you're looking for something to do tonight, Mace, I'd forgotten. Remember, this was the game that they invited all the first responders to the Southern California fires. And they were, you know, they were ringing the bell and help lighten the torch and doing all that stuff.
Right.
And the shots, the crowd shots, I had totally forgotten about that. This is going to be a very fun rewatch. So anybody who's got a chance when you get home tonight, I know a lot of you are out there driving home, turn on ESPN. I think it's going to be a very normally I'm not into rewatches, but I think this is going to be a very easy rewatch, on top of being a great game.
The thing I remember about that night was, remember, the game was rescheduled late for Los Angeles. So really, nobody from, there were no Kansas City fans, or not many Kansas City fans there, because they didn't have time to plan travel. So it was really the entire stadium filled up, 105,000 or what it was, 95,000, filled up in just a couple of days. And it was, for the most part, all Rams fans. So it was one of the wildest nights of the year. And they were in the middle of those terrible wildfires. And now I remember all those first responders were honored that night. Yeah, it was really, really cool. Lindsay, I wanted to give you a chance to respond to the Megan and Harry thing.
Oh, I was just going to say one quick thing about that. I think that one thing people are starting to learn throughout this whole quarantine life situation is intent is a very, very difficult, if not nearly impossible, thing to construe on the internet. So don't try too hard.
And yet, at the same time, there's something very, and I don't mean this in a... There's something very democratic about this thing. Like, it really doesn't care if you're famous or if you're rich or if you're poor or if you're in a good neighborhood or you're in a bad neighborhood. I mean, no matter where you are, everybody is sheltering in place. There's something I don't think rich people got it that much better than everybody else. No, they have to play by the same rules.
Yeah, totally agree.
Fast Track.
All right, John, this came up today. Lindsay pointed this out. Really good story from Sports Illustrated. And a number of Major League Baseball players, including Noah Syndergaard, Chris Sale, and Tyler Beattie of the Giants, have all gotten Tommy John surgery in the last week or so. Is it wrong for baseball players to get Tommy John surgery? They are all, especially when non-essential surgeries are not supposed to be taking place.
Yeah, we talked about this Friday when you stepped on top of your power supply.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I have no problem with it. I don't think any of these orthopedic places are necessarily taking a hospital bid away from somebody else. Now, Lindsay had a good point earlier. She said, well, what if the surgery goes wrong and you need to send this person to a hospital? He might not be able to get care. But I can't.
What about the protective gear? What about the masks?
Yeah, what
about
the
gowns? What about the face shields? Those shouldn't be used for some guy with Tommy John surgery when there are as many as 100,000 masks being used at certain hospitals in the country. Do you really want masks used for non-essential surgeries?
Here's the problem. If you think that, for example, all the masks at Curlin Job or any top orthopedic center are being given to hospitals and they're working with
the
cabinet, they're not.
They should be.
A lot of them are. Like, a lot of them are, like, donating. Even, like, tattoo shops and nail shops are donating all of their masks and gloves, which you have to use in those industries. They're donating all of it to hospitals.
There are people making masks. I mean, that's how bad it is. We're so short of masks.
Well, you guys know this, that there's nobody making cars right now. They're all making ventilators.
GM is making ventilators, yeah.
Right. And so I think that there's ways to do it. I think that guys, it may not get publicized, but I think you're going to see guys having Tommy John surgery during this situation just because they know there's not going to be any games for a while.
Well, this is a case where privileged people have it better.
There you go.
They can get their elective surgeries.
Syndergaard is probably not even in New York right now. I guess.
No, he actually got his surgery done in Florida, and you're right, they are getting them done.
He already got it done?
I think it's a bunch of BS that these people are getting their surgeries done when, you know, there's literally a national crisis, and they're worried about if they're going to get that extra $3.5 million on their contract so they can come get back into form when there's 3.5 million people in need of, you know, God knows what in the medical industry.
Right. Well, this is the same argument we were making 2 weeks ago about testing, about how elite rich people were getting tests and other people weren't.
And by the way, it's totally contrary to what I was just saying, that this is a very democratic pandemic, because there are still things that people of privilege get and can get that regular folks can't.
Fast Track.
All right, Mace. Guns have been flying off store shelves in recent weeks in a wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, even as states are divided over not whether gun stores should stay open like pharmacies and gas stations. According to a recent New York Times report, Ohio, Illinois, and Michigan have deemed firearms retailers essential, while New York, New Jersey, and Massachusetts have not. New Jersey was sued this week for closing stores, and on Friday, a suit was filed in California for the same thing. Let's say you're the judge. A lot of people want the safety of a gun for protection. You and I have both come out and said we're all for responsible gun ownership. Should gun stores stay open during the quarantine?
Really tough. I do own one. I think probably they should remain open. I think in this particular point in history, we are all sheltered in place.
Correct.
And I understand why someone would want a weapon to protect themselves if something happens.
I actually thought you were going to go the other way. I agree with you. I think that a lot of people want that peace of mind. Particularly when I live in Texas. I'm sure you can buy a gun in Texas. As long as you comply, as long as you're a candidate for gun ownership and you go through the proper channels to get one, I have no problem with guns.
Here's what I have a problem with, though, John. So I went through, when I was a kid, went through all kinds of gun safety training. Because we hunted in my family, so we learned how to clean the guns, we learned how to take care of the guns, we learned how to, I was actually at one point designated, and it's not as high a rank as you think, it sounds fancier than it is, but pro marksman. I was a good target shooter, shot traps, shot skeet, but what I worry about is people going to a gun shop, buying a gun when they have absolutely no training and no understanding for what is the right time to use it and what is the wrong time to use it. So
yeah,
that's sort of the scary part of it.
Well, what's weird is, President Trump's into polls. If you look at the polls on responsible gun ownership, on people that would agree with you that you have to go through that training in order to get a gun that even would approve a waiting period, is over 70%.
Yeah.
70% of the country is for responsible gun ownership. And so I think I'm all for more checks and balances, but I think these stores should remain open.
Yeah. All right. More Fast Track. In fact, Lindsay and Funch both have questions. Coming up next, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track. And let's see, Lindsay, it's to you.
Fast Track.
You think she left?
Oh, sorry. Sometimes I forget to take my phone off of mute.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. That's technology. I know you have trouble with that.
Yes, all the time. Dang millennials. Speaking of millennials, well, I guess it doesn't really just pertain to millennials, but many retail businesses are struggling to stay afloat as people crack down on their spending, and a lot of brick-and-mortar shops are forced to close their doors. However, a lot of online retailers are being totally overwhelmed by demand, with some saying business is like Christmas time or even better. So with much of America staying safe at home, they're looking for new ways to stay active, eat healthy, and keep themselves entertained. So I found a list, according to Yahoo, of the top 6 retail businesses that are completely booming during quarantine life. And I wanted to see if you guys can guess them in no particular order.
Okay, so Amazon has to be the biggest one.
Well, but it's more categorized by subject. Like, for example, one that's not on the list would be like... personal care industry, toothpaste.
All right, so you're
all
asking
kind of
for
stuff.
Specific retailers?
No, like just business categories.
Okay, liquor, beer.
I'll start with one.
Okay.
Bicycles and fitness equipment. It's estimated that sales across the industry are up about 15%.
Yeah, those Pelotons and stuff like that.
All right, I ordered a bunch of stuff last night from a pharmacy. Because I don't want to go into a pharmacy. Is that one of them?
That one's not on this list, no.
I'm not sure what she's looking for here.
Yeah, I'm not sure
what
she's looking
for. Okay, here's another one. Outdoor and indoor games. So, gaming companies. One game supplier told Yahoo that he sold 124 ping pong tables in the last week. And in the same week last year, he sold 15.
I set up our ping pong table today. That's weird.
Nice.
All right, but I can't.
Okay, here's another one. Man, you guys are not very good at this game.
The game may be the problem.
It's not a game. I was just asking if you guys are smart enough to know, like, you know, the kind of things that people are buying when they're saying.
Oh, apparently we're not as smart
obviously
as Lindsay.
What are the other three?
Home and garden items. Sales of garden compost and seeds are up 250%, which is crazy. And
my wife has ordered a lot of that stuff. She's been working in the yard.
Yeah, and outdoor furniture sales are through the roof. Reading material. Sales of fiction rose by a third, while children's education went up 234%, which I totally get that, too.
That makes sense, sure.
Electronics, anything from computers for people working from home to gaming consoles. I was trying to find a PlayStation 4 and, like, couldn't find one last weekend. I was getting really frustrated. They're sold out everywhere.
I have a PS4. I'll sell it to you.
Okay, or you could just let me borrow it if you're not using it. That'd be great.
I have a PS4. Let's play Name Your Price. Mace, what will you give yours up for?
I will give mine up for, let's see, what I pay for. I'll give mine up for $275.
No.
I paid way more. Oh, you wouldn't even pay that. No, then I'm out. Then you're back.
You know
that
they're about to come out with a PS5. Like, it was supposed to come out at Christmas. So
yeah, but you're not
going to
get that.
You're not
going to
get that.
Right, but then, you know, just again, like how consumerism goes, when a new model of something comes out, then they lower the price of the old model.
But given what's going on in the world, you will not get that new model for a very long time.
Well, yeah, and I was able to go online and find, like, on Facebook, there's a couple people that were selling them for around, like, $200 and $250. I've just been too lazy to, like, go drive down to Torrance or wherever and go pick it up. Not paying more than $250.
Okay.
So I will sell you mine for $250.
Okay. Does it come with any games, controllers, all that stuff?
It's got controllers, yeah.
Okay.
Have you even set it up?
Yeah, I used to play Call of Duty a lot. I have not played Call of Duty in a while.
And the last item on this list is coffee, which...
Oh, sure.
Everything from, you know...
So, wait, Mason, what are you doing for coffee?
I'm ordering it online. Actually, I picked up a couple of bags when I went to the store last week. So we're good for a while.
So you're making your own.
Yeah, what kind of coffee maker do you have?
An old-fashioned Mr. Coffee machine.
Oh, come on.
I swear to God. Old-fashioned Mr. Coffee machine.
You bought when Joe DiMaggio was doing ads for him? I mean,
it's a really little Mr. Coffee machine. Swear to God.
Wow.
Nothing fancy.
Old school.
Yep, Funch? Very old school.
Fast Track.
What do you got, Funches?
All right, last Saturday, March 28th, was an anniversary of some sorts for Michael Jordan, as on this day back on 1989, he dropped a career-high in 69 points on the Cavs. Also on his day in 1995 was the infamous double nickel game, as in his fourth game back from his first retirement, Jordan scored 55 points in a Bulls win versus the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden. Now, guys, what was the most important, impressive feat for MJ? Was it the 69 points, or was it the 55 points in his fourth game back from retirement?
Well, the 69 was kind of his introduction to the world.
Yeah, I think the 69. The 55 is impressive, but the 69 point
game. I mean, come on, guys.
Like...
He was just... doing batting practice 2 weeks before that.
Yeah, the 55 is interesting because, remember, he didn't win the title that year. It's like it all came back to him in one night. He did not play well when he joined the Bulls. You remember they lost to Orlando in the playoffs?
Yeah.
The 55 might be it just because,
you know, I just read an article about Chris Mullin because apparently Michael Jordan went to work out with the Warriors before he officially came back. So it was between that last batting practice and when he actually came back. He worked out right away with the Warriors, and Chris Mullin said he did not lose a thing, that he was exactly the same player and basically chewed them up in a scrimmage. So Jordan did not lose much when he was playing baseball.
Well, and then he just came back and rededicated himself and dominated for, like, the next few years. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one. The 69, you know, very few people have scored north of 70 points in an NBA game. I think it's only six people. I think it's Wilt did it a bunch of times. But I think it's Wilt, Kobe, David Robinson, Jordan.
Devin Booker.
Yeah, Devin Booker, I'd say, did Jordan, was 69 his career high? Did he ever have
69 a 69 was his career
game?
High. 69 yeah, was his career high.
Yeah, so it's pretty hard to do. Pretty hard to do.
Fast
All right.
Mason,
more...
you or you can break, either way.
Yeah, I'll go. Everybody's watching Tiger King right now. Tiger King is actually, I thought after the first episode I'd seen it all, then it really got crazy. And then it really got crazier. And one of the aspects of this story, John, I don't know how far you've made it, but there's an allegation.
I was one episode and out. I didn't like it.
There is an allegation that Carol Baskin killed her husband and fed him to the lions. Now, some people think this is urban legend. Some people think it really did happen, like Exotic Joe. Do you think it's possible that Carol Baskin killed her husband and fed him to lions?
Highly unlikely, but do I think it's possible? Sure.
I think she did. I think she absolutely did.
You need to watch it, John, because not only do I think it's possible, I think it's highly, highly probable.
Yeah, I think it's very, very probable. Funch, what do you think?
I think she did it. You know, they're saying that the tiger's stomachs are very acid. They have a bunch of acid in there, so they could like swallow up the bones and stuff like that.
And the bones would dissolve.
Yeah,
John, you should really give this another chance. It gets crazier than you think.
And then one of her boyfriends like asked her like, "Well, now that like you're my girlfriend, now that we're dating, what aren't you scared? Like, what if your husband comes back?" And she said, "Oh, husbands," or she said, "corpses can't talk."
Yeah, she's very cavalier about the whole thing. Huh. Yeah, you should really go by Carol Baskin. I think is the most dangerous person in that show.
Okay. I might give it, well, I'll definitely have time, so maybe I'll give it one more shot.
Yeah, it seems like everybody is watching it right now.
Do you think that she did it?
100%. I absolutely believe she killed her husband and fed him to the lions. There's absolutely no question in my mind. She is, I'm telling you, and by the way, you know, you should watch it, John, because they're making it into a movie, and Kate McKinnon is going to play Carol Baskin.
Oh, she's perfect.
Yeah, she'll be unbelievable.
Wow. Yeah,
you know, the one theory was that after she killed her husband, she used her on-premise meat grinder, which I guess that's a thing that somebody who has like a tiger farm has. She grinded him up in the meat grinder and then fed that meat to the tigers.
Oh, that's just a whole new level of wacko. Yeah,
it's crazy.
That Tiger King show is popular, though.
Yes, it is. All right, more Fast Track in 2 minutes. Or I won't even say that. More Fast Track coming up soon, very soon, on 710 ESPN. Rolling on with Fast Track Ireland, it's to you.
Fast Track.
Okay, Knicks owner James Dolan has tested positive for the coronavirus. He's going to self-quarantine, and so far, he has minimal symptoms. Now, among owners, Dolan has been one of the more generous. He has committed to paying qualified MSG employees through May 3rd. He's also commissioned and financed a relief fund to support MSG event staff. But he's got a different problem this week. Assuming he doesn't postpone because of the coronavirus, he's scheduled to go into arbitration on a lawsuit filed against him by Charles Oakley. 3 years ago, the Knicks threw Oakley out of Madison Square Garden. The team says Oakley bought a seat behind Dolan at a Knicks game and was verbally abusive. Dolan also said Oakley has a drinking problem. Oakley says none of those things are true, and he sued Dolan for defamation. Now, a judge has already ruled in favor of Dolan, saying Oakley had no case. It's hard to sue somebody for defamation. You have to prove intent and malice, and Oakley couldn't do it. But Oakley wants to appeal, and the only way he can do that is to go through arbitration. Mace, let's say you're the arbitrator. What's a reasonable solution here? Dolan has already won in court, so he has little incentive to pay Oakley off. But the Knicks are losing in the court of public opinion. How would you resolve this?
Well, there's a difference between arbitration and binding arbitration. Do you know which one it is?
It's binding. Well, here's what it is. In order for the only way his case can continue.
It sounds like it's mediation.
Okay, so the only way his case is allowed to continue is if it isn't resolved in arbitration.
Okay.
So that's all I know about that.
Right. So it sounds like it's not binding arbitration. In other words, binding arbitration is where you two parties
you both
sit down
agree,
at the table,
and then whatever.
And then
happens,
the judge
happens,
says, yeah, this is what it is, and that's what it is. It sounds like this is arbitration, more like mediation. I would encourage Dolan to make a public apology. That's all. Just make a public apology. Because I think that's all that Charles Oakley really wants, ultimately, is to be right. And that's a small price for Dolan to pay. It's not money. It's not fees. It's not a fine. It's nothing. So just an apology is what I would encourage as a mediator or as a judge in an arbitration.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. That's a good idea, but it'll be interesting to see if he would accept that. You know, when this happened 2 years ago, both James Dolan and Charles Oakley were called into Adam Silver's office together, and he tried to resolve it, even got Michael Jordan on the phone, and they couldn't resolve it. It did nothing to resolve the dispute. So I have a feeling that this isn't going to do anything, and probably because Dolan won't apologize. You know, Dolan, PR-wise,
he probably won't, yeah.
They always make the wrong move. But it would seem here that, you know, Dolan has endless amounts of money. I would do it. I'm with you. I would just say, look, you know, things got a little heated. Charles Oakley was a great Nick. You know, we'll welcome him back to the Garden, and we apologize for letting this get this far. And if that makes it go away, good for them.
Yeah, I would say that would be a reasonable compromise.
Fast track.
All right, life is crazy all over the place right now, so I've got another round of all over the place trivia for you guys, John, Lindsay, and Funch. I'm trying to remember who won this the last time.
I think
Ireland
had the lead
lost,
and then blew it on the last question.
I think Lindsay may have won on the last question. Your name is your buzzer. You can all play Ireland, Lindsay, and Funch. Number one, who was the winner of the 2019 World Series?
John.
Lindsay.
The winner of the 2019 World Series was the Washington Nationals.
Nationals for the point, yes. Number two, who delivered the Gettysburg Address?
John. Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln's correct. Number three, Frankfurt is the capital of what state?
Funch.
Frankfurt.
Oof. Wisconsin?
Lindsay.
John.
No. Lindsay.
Connecticut.
No.
John.
What? It's not.
John.
Kentucky.
Kentucky,
crap.
Absolutely.
Hartford is Connecticut.
Everybody buzzing in early, but only Ireland had the answer. All right. What is the name of the currency in Mexico?
John. I think I got it, but I'll let you decide.
John, it was you.
Peso.
Peso's correct. Sorry, Funch. You were very close. Number five. How do you spell Antetokounmpo?
Lindsay. I'm just going to guess here. Do what the spelling bee people do. A-N-T-E-K. Okay.
John.
John.
A-N-T-E-T-O-K-O-U-N-M-P-O.
Absolutely correct.
Wow.
That is how you spell Antetokounmpo.
Well, I've written it down enough.
Yeah.
By the way,
John Ireland with a steamroll job here, 5-0.
Yeah, but you know how this movie's going to end.
I do.
It's unbelievable.
Number six. What year did the Japanese bomb Pearl Harbor?
John. 1941.
Correct. Number seven. In the latest Star Wars trilogy, who played Kylo Ren?
Lindsay. Adam Driver.
Correct. Number eight. Who painted the Sistine Chapel?
Funch.
Da Vinci?
No.
John.
Michelangelo.
Michelangelo
is correct.
That's right.
Ireland 7, Lindsay 1, Funch being shut out so far. There are two left. Finish this expression. People in glass houses.
John.
Lindsay.
John.
Should not throw stones.
That is absolutely correct. It is 8 for Ireland, 1 for Lindsay, none for Funch. This one is worth 8.5.
Ridiculous. I have a procedural complaint. Go ahead.
Who is Boo Boo's best friend?
Funch. Lindsay.
Funch got there first.
No, that was me.
Yogi Bear. No, it was Funch.
Nope.
Funch with the win.
No.
It's definitely
unbelievable.
Funch.
Come no. from behind victory.
Funch, is there a way you can play that back after the break?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I think there's no question it was Funch.
Okay, if it is, I'll take my loss, but
okay.
I think I beat him.
All right. Let's see. More Fast Track. Oh, go ahead and roll that back, Funch. We'll do it next. More Fast Track coming up next for you. Sleewood, top of the hour, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track. All right, Funch, were you able to roll that back?
Yeah,
the
yeah,
Yogi
I got it.
Boo-boo
now,
thing?
Let's listen objectively. Turn down the Eagles. Now, who jumped in first on the boo-boo question?
Who is Boo-boo's best friend?
Funch.
Do we have it?
I don't know. Maybe we can't hear it.
Yeah, maybe we can't hear it.
Funch, we can't hear it, so you just have to rely on your honest assessment.
Who no, I'm sorry. Let me play it again. Let me play it again.
Okay, okay, here we go. Who is Boo Boo's best friend?
Funch.
Lindsay. Funch
it's
got
definitely Funch.
I heard Funch.
Yep,
Funch
got
it. Yep.
Got me. I have blown
congratulations,
every game.
Funch.
Yeah, it's just stinking ridiculous.
Incredibly gifted.
That's all right. Bring the Eagles
player.
Back. I could not have built a bigger lead, and I just did. Funch, did you have any points?
No, I did not.
He had none.
No,
I think you got a new rule. You got to have at least 1 point to make it to the finals. Come on.
No, everybody
loves. That's like not qualifying for Final Jeopardy when you're negative. I think
everybody loves a comeback
right.
story.
Yeah, screw you. All right, so Mace. Oh, this is a good way for me to get back at you because normally you don't do very well in this, but this is easy. This is a game about jersey numbers.
I have no clue.
No, I made these so you could get them. I'm going to read names of athletes who all wore the same number. Your name is your buzzer. As soon as you know what number I'm looking for, buzz in, okay? So I'm just going to read names, and if you know what number any of these guys wore, then buzz in. Here's the first one. Kirk Gibson. LeBron James.
Mason. No, wait, I got it first.
No, right. I did
Mason,
get it first.
Mason got it first.
Are you insane?
By the way, that's the one I'm going to get. I was just waiting on 23.
Okay, here's the next one. James Worthy.
Funch.
Funch.
42.
42 is correct. One for Funches, one for Mason. Number three, Steph Curry.
Funch.
Funch.
30.
30 is right. Uh-oh.
Funch is good at
this game. Ringer here. All right, next one. Tim Duncan.
Funch.
Funch.
21.
Oh, you guys
Funch.
Are in trouble.
I've got no clue on jersey numbers.
Okay. Well, you haven't known any of these so far?
I got one. I was sitting on LeBron James.
All right, next one. James Harden, Wilt Chamberlain, Dan Marino.
Funch.
Funch.
13.
13 is correct. Four for Funches, one for Mason, and Lindsay doesn't have any
yet. I'm glad I got that one.
Okay. Troy Aikman, Cal Ripken.
Funch?
Funch.
Eight.
Eight is correct. 5-1. Funches.
I still have a chance on the last one, though, don't I?
I know. You do. All right, next one. Jared Goff.
Mason.
Joe Mason.
22?
No.
Lindsay.
Joe Montana, Lindsay.
Six.
No.
Funch.
Funch.
16.
16. Funch is Lindsay.
I knew there was a 6 there.
All right, 6-1. Next one. Brett Favre.
Lindsay.
Lindsay.
4.
4, and Lindsay's on the board. Funch, 6. Mason and Lindsay, 1 each. Next one. Magic Johnson.
Funch.
Mason.
Funch.
32.
Damn.
32. Funch just has 7. All right. I guess I should say Lionel Messi, Eli Manning,
Lindsay.
Pele, Lindsay.
Oh, crap. Is it 12?
No.
Mason.
Mace.
11?
No.
Funch. 10. 10.
10 is the correct
answer. We were so right there.
Yeah, you're having
so close.
Funch has an Ireland-sized lead, 8-1-1. All right, here we go. Terry Bradshaw. John Stockton, Tom Brady.
Funch.
Lindsay.
Funch.
12.
12 is the correct answer. 9-1-1.
I have a delay. That's why I'm off.
Yeah, I'm sure that's it.
That's it.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Lindsay.
Lindsay.
33.
No. Hakeem Olajuwon.
Funch.
Walter Payton. Funch.
34.
34. Funch is a 10-1. There are two left. Luke Robitaille, Frank Robinson, Barry Sanders.
Mason.
Lindsey.
Mace.
22?
No. Mace, you should have got it on the Barry Sanders. Remember the Bernie Sanders thing? Anybody else want to guess?
Funch.
I said Lindsey.
Yeah. Funch. Yeah.
Go ahead, Lindsey.
Go ahead, Lindsey. Go ahead, Lindsey.
Wasn't it 45?
No.
No. Funch, you want to try it?
20.
Yeah, 20. 20.
Oh, okay. That's right.
So this is the last one.
Okay.
Funches with the most commanding lead of all time. 10-1-1, but this one's worth 10.5.
Oh, yes.
God. All right, here we go. Derek Jeter.
Mason.
Mace.
Two.
Oh, two,
my God.
No. Mason wins the jersey number game. Wow.
You haven't got one right.
I still got the first one and the last one.
I think they should be progressively harder as you go along.
That's how I tried to do it.
Derek Jeter, that's like the easiest one besides LeBron.
Why didn't you get it?
Because he already buzzed in. I literally am at like a 3-second delay for you guys. That's why I keep thinking I got it.
Oh, come on, the 3-second delay thing.
When you guys talk to me, you can hear me talking. Like, I can hear myself. Like, on your end, like, when you guys hear what I what
okay,
I
wait a minute. Tell me if you're hearing this or if there's a delay. Imagine there's no heaven.
I won't even get into what I've been saying over the breaks. If you want to support a human being like that, then that's your prerogative. I hope you sleep at night.
We gotta get Morales to do an Imagine bumper. All right, Mason, it's you.
All right,
fast track.
Let me see. What do I have that's fun? Let's see. Okay, we'll do this one. It's not necessarily fun. Mariah Carey just turned 50 years old. She sang
really?
Last night on the Elton John thing. Yeah, she looks great. Where does she rank among the greatest voices in history? Among the greatest voices in history.
Top 10, for sure.
Top 10. Who else is there?
Barbara Streisand.
Oh,
Adele.
Streisand. I didn't even have her on my list. Adele, yeah.
Streisand doesn't belong on that list.
Yes, yeah, she's a great vocalist. Beyonce, I would say you got to look at. All right, so we're only talking female, right?
No. Any voice.
Oh. Okay. Sinatra has to be in anybody's top.
Yeah, Sinatra's definitely there. I have Freddie Mercury there.
I completely agree. Like, one of a kind. You know, and he had that thing Mariah Carey's got where he could sing. He had more range. He could sing more octaves.
Whitney Houston, she's the best voice of all time.
Yeah, that's a great call.
Whitney Houston, I think, has the greatest voice of all time, for me at least.
I agree, but there must be too much of a delay for you to hear me say that before you do.
Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey.
How about Ray Charles?
Distinct, yeah, and he gets bonus points because he was blind. I mean, it makes it even harder.
I don't think he's on there, but speaking of blind people, Stevie Wonder should probably be on there.
Stevie Wonder, sure.
What about Marvin Gaye?
Yes. Marvin Gaye, yeah, I've got him on my list. How about Aretha people Franklin?
Aretha's there. Most people who love Motown think Smokey Robinson would probably be a consideration.
Tears of a Clown.
Anybody speaking, current?
Speaking of blind, Andrea Bocelli. Has a
blind,
an amazing voice. Yeah, Andrea Bocelli's blind.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's got a song with his son called Fall on Me.
Wait a minute. Are you sure?
Yeah, he's definitely blind. Yeah, Andrea Bocelli's blind.
Isn't he one of the three tenors?
I know Pavarotti's one of the three tenors,
completely
but I don't know
12.
The other two guys.
He's completely blind at age 12.
At age 12, okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, blind, yeah. Blind enough.
We got three blind people on our list.
Do you think we're giving them two? We're probably padding it because it's more impressive that they can do all that stuff blind.
Prince.
Favoring the blind. Prince. Yeah, Prince is there. For me, Amy Winehouse is there. She has had an unbelievable voice.
Yeah,
unbelievably
you feel about Amy Winehouse the way I feel about Annie Lennox.
Annie Lennox has got a crazy voice. You and I went to see Annie Lennox and Sting.
Yeah.
At the Hollywood Bowl.
Awesome.
That was a great show. Sting is right there. Yeah. My anyway, God. Those are
yeah, how
those
old
are some
is Kevin Reese? He sent me two names.
Bing Crosby?
No, the first one is Marilyn McCoo. and the second one is Karen Carpenter.
Ew. I mean,
he's from the early 70s. Marilyn McCoo, lead singer for the Fifth Dimension.
I am going to say, Kevin, what Michael Thompson would say if he was here, and that is, turn in your black card to the Karen Carpenter guest.
For the Karen Carpenter, absolutely. But the Marilyn McCoo, Fifth Dimension, was a great... My dad used to love the Fifth Dimension.
I thought she was with Billy Davis. Was she in the Fifth
Dimension
had
a
also?
Big single with Billy Davis, but she was the lead singer for the Fifth Dimension.
I think they were a couple. I think Billy Davis and Marilyn McCroo were a couple. Yeah, maybe she was in the Fifth Dimension.
Yeah, she was the lead vocalist for the Fifth Dimension.
What about Gladys Knight? Who had a better voice? Marilyn McCroo Gladys Knight.
Gladys Knight. Gladys Knight's a classic. All right.
Karen Carpenter.
Karen Carpenter.
Coming up next is Sliwa at Sunset. You never know what Alan's going to come up with, but it probably won't be much.
That's a brutal takedown right there.
No, it's a tease.
It's a takedown. All right, that's coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hey, it's we are approaching sunset, and it is time for Sliwa at Sunset. He joins us live from his cell in Koreatown.
Alan, how are you?
Good job. Thank you. Thank you.
Did you, Alan, go to the Rams-Chiefs game in person? That great game
there.
2 years ago?
Yeah, I was there at that game. I was mentioning, I think last week, where I didn't go to one game that year. That's the only game I went to, and it was, I mean, as good as it gets. And I think they're airing it right now, right?
Yeah.
Yep, airing it right now.
I think, and Mason, who's been to every Ram home game, agreed. I think it was the best game of the Rams Coliseum era. Of the 3 years they were forced to play in the Coliseum.
Yep.
I think this was game, if you were going to rank all the games all time, this is number one.
It's got to be just one of the, I mean, best games at the Coliseum in the last 10 years. Throw USC classic games in there. I mean, it was as good as an event that I think the Coliseum has had, but that game was amazing.
Yeah, and I had forgotten that the terrible fires had been going on, and all of the first responders were honored at that that game. Which actually made it really cool because, remember, the Rams were up there practicing right near the fires, and a lot of the Rams had to move out of their homes because the fires were really, really close. I think Gurley was actually one of the guys who had to move out of his house. So it was a really cool, emotional night, and the place – remember, no tickets had been sold. The game got rescheduled maybe the Wednesday before?
Monday right. before, I think. They canceled
Monday
one
before?
Week out, but I don't think they did. They decided what they were going to do with tickets until the Wednesday before.
Right, and they sold 95,000 tickets, like, out of the gate, because that was a marquee matchup. Rams were having a huge season. Kansas City, Mahomes was on fire. And it was mostly Rams fans. That's the thing I remember about it. There weren't a lot of Chiefs fans because nobody had a chance to travel in time for the game. It was just basically 4 days' notice. All right, so Sliwa, I put out a poll, and I want to get your response to it. Do you think that Carol Baskin killed her husband and fed him to the Tigers?
Is it just yes or no?
Yes.
No question about it.
Yeah, there's no question
she did it. She definitely did it.
And by the way, the poll online is 96% say absolutely.
Yeah, but they could have edited the thing that way. You never know.
Oh, no. Oh, she's a
like,
she's
do you
intensely
guys think
creepy.
The making a murderer guys, the two guys that got convicted, did it?
No.
I don't either.
I don't either. I think one of those guys has been released, isn't it? Hasn't Brendan Dassey been released?
He's the kid, right?
No, I think he was supposed to be, but then something keeps happening. I'll look.
All right, hey, Sliwa, give me your advice on something.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow on Sedano's show, Mason and I are going on there, and we're drafting the 30 best Lakers of all time. We're each drafting a team, All right.
Wow. Okay.
So Dono's going to pick first. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick second. And Mason picks third and fourth. It's a snake draft. Okay. So Sedano has already told us he's either taking Magic, Kareem, or Kobe. Okay. He's taking one of those three. We don't know which one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I think he's probably going to take Magic. Because as Michael says, he's the greatest team leader in the history of sports. So he takes Magic. If I that leaves me a ton of great players.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But my worry is if I don't take, like, Kareem should probably go too. But if
go Kobe.
Here's the thing. If I don't go Kobe, Mason could take Kobe and Shaq. I would leave them both guys, which I think might be a fatal mistake. What should I do at two?
So here's the thing. If you take Kobe two, he comes back with Kareem and Shaq.
No, you won't take them both.
I won't take them both. I'll have to fill positions.
Oh, that's a weird minute, though, Alan. That's a good point.
No, I would take them both.
You would just take them both and play them together?
Yeah,
play one of them at power forward?
Well, this is what I was going to try to say. If he's going to go positions, then you already got the, you know, the greatest guard other than Magic, obviously, right? And then you're going to get a big man after that anyways.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. That's a good theory. Mace could go off the board. He could go George Mikan. He could go
George
Vern Mikan.
Clyde Lavallette.
Yeah, he could.
Actually, you're fine. If you just go Kobe and he takes, even if he took Shaq and Kareem, go Wilt after that.
Oh, that's a good point. All right. So that's good. We won't waste it. We'll see what happens tomorrow at 10:40.
Right.
But
I got a pretty good point guard sitting there.
Who? Magic's already gone.
Jerry West.
Are you really eyeing on Jerry West?
I am. Magic and Kobe are the two greatest.
Oh, no, but I'm saying ever. Magic's going to be off the board, and Kobe, if you take him, is going to be off the board.
Okay, so
I go big, I go Shaq, and I go Jerry West.
Yeah, that's true.
Here's the thing. If he didn't take, like, if, let's say, John, you took Kareem.
Yeah. Then that leaves him Shaq and Kobe. Yeah, that's true. Well, I'll think about it. I'll think about it.
Right. By the way, I just got a text from Sedano, who's hanging on every word. He says, no Mikan, only Los Angeles Lakers.
Well, then you just take Andrew Bynum.
That also rules out Clyde Lavallette.
You could take Andrew Bynum. You could take Von Wafer.
keep throwing me names.
Yep.
Devin George.
Powell's going to go early. Powell will go top 10.
Yeah, Powell's absolutely going top 10.
Yeah, there's tons of great players.
Grab Terry Teagle
Mace.
Yeah, Sadell Threet.
Will Eldon Campbell go in the top 30?
Oh, it's a good question. No, hands are too small. Hands are too small. I'm not taking him top 10.
Eldon was a turnover.
Gail Goodrich, Hall of Famer.
Right. Vlade, heavy smoker.
Yeah, you don't want it. Well, you, but Mace,
I mean, think about
for
Jamal
you,
Wilkes,
that might,
James
you know.
Worthy.
For you, that might be.
I think he's smoking the old fashions. He's smoking the old fashions. He's not a new school guy.
Carol did it. Let's all forget about this.
Carol did it. Absolutely, Carol Baskin.
Yeah. So,
did you hear Lindsay's going to book Carol Baskin on the show this week?
100%.
I'm going to try and get her and Joe.
Together.
Joe Paul from prison.
Joe Exotic and Carol Baskin. Join us
epic.
Wednesday.
That'd be epic.
First we had first was Fauci and Gupta.
Yeah, Fauci and Gupta.
Hey, maybe we can get Frank Caliendo to do like a whole segment as Joe and just we'll have people think it's Joe.
He should be working on a Joe Exotic impression because that's going to be big.
Did you guys catch yourself watching that thing, saying to yourself, like, why am I watching this? And then right when the episode ends, you're like, of course, I'm ready to go to the next episode.
Yes.
Oh, they stick you so big at the end. It's like they leave you some gigantic thing that you're like, I have no choice but to watch the next episode.
Yeah, I checked out after one.
That's it, huh, John? Not going back?
Well, it was like, Mace, the same thing I did with McMillions. I went, you know, it's too long.
This is different than McMillions. This is different. I'm telling you, John, it goes really sideways at some point.
Okay.
It gets so weird.
Hey, did you guys see that? Did you guys watch that text I sent you guys about Curb?
No.
What was
How'd you get my phone number?
I got it through the phone list. Would they email it out?
Oh, damn. That's supposed to be private.
All right.
No, I didn't get anything from
you. What was the subject of it?
It's when they're at the funeral. Larry's at a funeral. Mm-hmm. And the gal in front of her keeps crying. And he's asking her. He's saying, "You're crying too loud." He just won't stop telling her that she's too loud at the funeral for crying. You guys know what I'm talking about there or no?
Yeah. No. I've seen it a bunch of times. There is no situation. Larry is I don't know if this is a word. Larry is unembarrassable. You can't. He's like Michael Thompson. You can't embarrass him. It's impossible. Are you up to speed on it, Alan? Have you been watching this year?
Well, I'm just like watching a lot of these clips that you were telling me, the Palestinian clip.
Right.
The one where they're going into the chicken the chicken restaurant.
Have you watched Carpool Lane? Do you know what Carpool Lane is?
Yes, I've seen Carpool Lane. Yep.
Carpool Lane's when Larry has tickets to the Dodger game and he realizes he's never going to get there for first pitch unless he puts somebody with him. So he picks up a hooker.
Yep.
And takes her in the carpool lane. There's so many great episodes.
How do you come up
episodes.
With this? How do you come up with this stuff? I mean, he's brilliant.
Mason had a good question. We hope that this isn't the end, that season 11 isn't the end.
Well, remember, there was 5 years between season 9 and season 10.
Wow.
So they don't happen necessarily on time. I don't know that they've made a decision. I don't know if Larry's made a decision about a season 11.
Mace, does he just kind of do what he wants when he wants?
Oh, yeah.
But you know,
he made so much friggin' money on Seinfeld. I mean, that guy, think about it. That guy was there for Seinfeld. The Seinfeld cast, Jerry, Larry, that whole crew, they
Kramer,
made so much money. That was like the final burst of TV syndication. He can do whatever he wants. He can do whatever he doesn't want.
But, Mace, that's the genius of HBO pretty much telling him, hey, you do what you want, you know, when you want. A lot of these networks, I don't feel like – remember when Chappelle's show, that show was just absolutely killing it. I mean, if Comedy Central kind of told Dave Chappelle, listen, you do what you want, however you want to take some time off, like kind of had a little bit more of that type of approach – Chappelle's show could have went 7, 8, 10 seasons, whatever the case is. All they got was 3 seasons out of it.
But didn't he bail on it?
Yeah, he bailed on it for that reason because
they were working him too hard.
They wanted to tell him what to do.
They wanted to dictate everything. So he's like, it's going to lose the substance of it. The substance is the way we're doing it. And they wanted, I think it was just becoming so corporate in the sense that some of the skits that he was doing was taking away from probably ad dollars or certain companies that didn't want to associate with arguably the funniest show on TV. But they pulled the plug. In the sense that they wanted him to do it a certain way, and then that's when he said, all right.
And now he just basically drops a Netflix special anytime he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
He's got absolute freedom. Netflix is doing what HBO did. You can just drop it whenever you want. They've got every great stand-up is now doing specials on Netflix. I think John Mulaney is killing it on Netflix. His specials are so damn funny.
Well, it's almost like the network thought they were bigger than Chappelle, just as an example, right? But Chappelle was actually bigger than the network at that time. HBO genius to say, Larry David, you do what you want when you want.
All right. Listen, Alan, what about the NBA playoffs on a boat? What are you thinking?
I heard you guys talking about that.
It was Jay Williams.
Jay Williams.
Oh, wait,
it wasn't us.
But, it was his idea.
Did you ever clean up that Jay Williams clip?
Yeah,
it's still okay. So this is Jay Williams, Alan. Listen to this idea.
Cruise ships, and there's testings before everybody goes on the ship. You allow the player and their immediate family, being that wife or their kids, are allowed to go with them. And you have an Eastern Conference cruise ship, and you have a Western Conference cruise ship. Obviously, everything is sterilized. All the time, you have the media companies that are able to drop their equipment in. You never really go to shore. You stay out on the cruise ships, and you build 2 courts on those cruise ships. Now, I know fans may not be allowed to go, but still, the broadcasting companies could actually broadcast these games. The team members and their family members could be isolated to a degree for that span of that's 40 days, whatever it may be, and then you're allowed to potentially have these games, the Eastern Conference Finals. You go right into the playoffs. Maybe you give a week for each team to prepare, but you go right into that for the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference, and then you have the championship game on a cruise ship.
Okay, NBA playoffs on a boat. What do you think, Alan?
Do you want me to – if I was, like, trying to – this is my honest opinion. If I was trying to come up with, like, a joke to lighten the situation, I probably would, like, start it with that. I would say something to the effect of, let's do it on a
cruise ship. Come on, man. You got to think outside the box.
That sounds like an awful idea. I mean, it sounds – and I say that because, you know, there have been cruise ships out there where – there's a cruise ship right now that's having trouble docking anywhere because they have so many people with COVID-19. Like, that's the last place.
Oh, Mace, you know who's stuck on a cruise ship?
No, who?
Sam Rubin.
Is he really?
Yeah, stuck on a cruise ship.
Wow.
He may have gotten off by now, but I was watching last week, and he was stuck on a cruise ship, and he couldn't get off.
Wow. What? To me, that's – I don't know. I just think no – good. I mean, with all due respect to the owner of the Miami Heat, the cruise business, does it ever recover from this?
No, well, there's several businesses that may never recover from this.
So what's Jay Williams talking about? Why would he do it on a cruise ship?
Well, Jay, to be candid, Jay has been from the beginning saying that they should have been playing. He feels they should be playing right now. He says, test everybody.
Do you think he still thinks that? Like as of today, or was it like last week? Because I think there's been a significant change from last week.
Shamed into not giving his opinion, but I think a big part of him thinks that if we had sports of any kind right now, it'd be a big saving grace for a lot of people.
Well, 100% would. I mean, my gosh. I mean, what we wouldn't do for sports. I just think at this point, especially it sounds like the next month is going to be really rough out there.
Well, the hard thing is,
what would the Lakers do in Brooklyn when they were in the middle of their quarantine? You know, like didn't Marcus Smart just? I think he's now officially does not have COVID-19. Like to say to play now, that doesn't sound like a
well,
smart
no,
decision
I think
at
if
all.
He was here, I think what he would say is, if you tested positive for the virus, you're out, and everybody gets tested. But if you test negative, you can play.
But
Marcus Smart tested positive.
Right.
But then so I think team personnel would have to be clean. You would have to have officials. You'd have to have broadcasters, broadcast partners. You'd have to have all those people testing negative before you could even think about going forward. And by the way, all those people then leave the building afterwards with a chance to potentially become infected when they leave the arena.
Right.
And Mace, if one player tests positive, then what? Then you kind of got to stop. You have to stop right there.
Right. Well, did you hear Brian Windhorst's idea, Alan?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So here's if you weren't with us earlier in the show.
Alan, pretend you didn't. It's better for the bit. Say no.
Brian,
what did Windhorst have to say?
John? please tell me, John. Please.
Here's Windhorst from earlier in the show.
We don't have a lot of answers right now, but what we do have is the Chinese. The Chinese are ahead of us on this, and their basketball league is comparable to the NBA. And that, I mean, they've got 20 different teams spread all through the country, and they've got an issue of keeping their players healthy. And what they are trying to do is what I think the NBA is going to have to do, which is to cluster their teams into two different cities and essentially build
how
a
fast
bubble
is Doug
and put their teams in that bubble and have them live, eat, breathe, train everything basketball in that bubble. And it's a problem to sell this to the players. The difference between the NBA and the Chinese Basketball Association is there's no players association. They can just dictate it to the Chinese players. There's a bunch of hurdles here, but I think this is the reality the NBA is going to have to face. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe in June or July, but I think the NBA is going to have to build itself a bubble like the Chinese are attempting to do right now.
All right, bubble ball, Alan. What do you think of the bubble? Bubble ball.
Listen, if as long as they come to a point where they feel like it's safe, I mean, there's also a lot of, you know, news that's out there doesn't feel like the numbers that China's reporting is accurate. You know, like they don't trust it. They don't believe it. So part of me just thinks we might have to create our own blueprint. But, John, I think you said something earlier and you said it last week, too. It feels like the NBA is going to do everything possible in their power to finish off the season and whatever it takes. But, you know, if it doesn't happen, then that's not going to be from them not thinking of every scenario.
I just got a text or a tweet from somebody. Sam Rubin got home this morning.
Oh, good.
So he made it back. Good for him.
Yeah. All right. More Sliwa at sunset coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Crosstalk. Sliwa is here. Sliwa, what do you got planned for the big show tonight?
So yesterday,
who's going to hop on? Who's going to stop by? I like your phrases.
Yeah,
hop on,
yeah.
Stop by.
Not yet on the hop on or stop by. Yes.
What do you
did
use?
You guys see? Did you? I do a hop on. I do a lot of hop on.
You're a big hop on guy. Yeah.
Yeah, jumping on.
Jump on. Yeah.
Base. Did you guys see yesterday on NBA TV? And I think they were doing it on Twitter. Did you guys see Shaq's 61 point game on his birthday, his 28th birthday against the Clippers? Did you guys see that at all or see any?
I worked sidelines on that game, and Shaq said the reason he unloaded on the Clippers because they refused to give him tickets. True story.
Yeah, no, I've heard you tell that story before. And that might be one of my favorite stories. But we're going to go through some of Shaq's top moments as a Los Angeles Laker. I think sometimes we forget about the big diesel. So I'm going to do that tonight.
All right, guys, listen to this breaking story. Okay, you want to finish your promo? Go ahead.
I was just going to say Brett Dawson from The Athletic, Mike Trudell both come on. And Brett Dawson has an article about what some of these NBA nutritional experts are advising players to do. So we'll get into that.
How'd you get Trudell?
Trudell, I got through John.
He called him. All right, so this just announced by Chris Haynes of Yahoo moments ago. The NBA is planning a players-only NBA 2K tournament that will feature the league's sharpest video gamers, and it will be broadcast on ESPN. The league hopes to launch the event this Friday, with the tournament including some big-name players. With everything on pause due to the coronavirus pandemic, the league has been forced to evaluate the safest way to bring basketball fans some action. Players competing against their peers in the comfort of their own homes could offer a distraction for fans who are missing out on competition. Lakers star Anthony Davis and Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo were the two past NBA 2K cover athletes. So what do you guys think? In or out on the NBA 2K tournament?
In. I need something to watch. I'm done with the Tiger King.
I'm in. These guys, they're mic'd up as well, like just talking.
Oh, are they mic'd up?
I'm saying nice. If they are, that'd be fun. You know what I mean? Like, that'd be fun because you're hearing from the players as well. I think that'd be great.
John, are you going to watch video games on TV?
I never have, but I might. I'm bored enough where I just might. Why not?
I'm so bored, I'm going to watch video games on TV.
All right,
TV.
So here's another story. Chris Ballard, who has been the lead basketball writer at Sports Illustrated for the last 10 years, announced today that he's leaving, that he's been a victim of cuts. Sports Illustrated's been sold a couple of times, and Ballard is a great writer, like a really good basketball writer. If you're, like, let's say you are, and he may be the best NBA writer in the country. I don't know. I mean, Howard Beck's on that list. There's a bunch of guys.
Sure.
But if you're the one of the best writers in the country, Mace, where would you want to work? Like, where, like, if is any place, like, where could you get a foothold? I mean, it used to be Sports Illustrated was like the top of the food chain. That's where the guys like Chris Ballard and Lee Jenkins and Rick Riley and all those guys went. Where is it now?
I think the talent's all gone to The Athletic. I mean, they've done such a great job. When I first heard that idea that you would pay for content, I thought it was ridiculous in a world where there was so much free content. But The Athletic is a premier place to write now. That might be my first choice.
What I'm hoping doesn't happen to The Athletic is they have a lot of, like, part-time writers get paid on what they write.
Right.
And with no sports going on, I wonder if those guys can write anything. You know what I mean? They have staff guys. The Athletic has staff guys. But, you know, I just don't think that sports writing has a surefire place where you could go get paid what you're worth. And a lot of people would see. Maybe ESPN.com. I mean,
John, I'm with you on ESPN. I mean, if there's one thing that, you know, ESPN from an exposure standpoint, you just can't touch it. Like, if you're writing for ESPN or doing anything for ESPN.
Yeah, that's true.
Woj came to ESPN as a writer. Ramona came to ESPN as a writer.
Yes, she did.
So, you know, maybe that's the answer, where you can go and the big term they throw around a lot is multi-platform. You know, so a guy like Woj not only becomes your lead writer, but he becomes your lead podcaster, your lead TV guy, you know. Maybe that's where you go. But I feel like Ballard's super talented. That's a big bummer. And I used to love Sports Illustrated. Now it's like, I don't even know if that thing will be around in a year.
Yeah.
You know, John, we'll use McMenamin as an example. Writes, I know he's a beat writer for the Lakers, but how
often he's crossed over.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Like how
I think
how
more people know Dave
TV
now.
Though?
You know, Dave started there as a writer, but I think more people know him as a TV guy now than from his writing.
No, it does give you the opportunity to cross over in a big way, yeah. All right, so you mentioned you're going to do some Shaquille O'Neal tonight. He has addressed his appearance on Netflix's Tiger King.
You guys are obsessed with Tiger King.
Well, no, because Shaq took the TNT cameras. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
Didn't Shaq take the TNT cameras?
He was on the show.
He was on the show. He was on the Tiger King show. He has apologized. He says he had no idea what was going on at the zoo in Oklahoma. And he says, so we go in there. It's a beautiful place. The character that was there was Exotic Joe. We're there, and I dropped some donations for the tigers' food and all that. We take pictures with the tigers. We went back a couple of times. Then we go back another time, and we found out he's involved with all this other stuff. Then I stopped going. Shaq says, I don't harm tigers. I love tigers. I love white tigers. Do I put donations to zoo to help these tigers out? I do all the time. Do I own tigers personally at my house? No. But I love tigers. So Shaq now regrets having gone on the Exotic Joe show down in Oklahoma.
Did you guys see who else is also supposedly involved with these crazy people?
No.
Britney Spears has been spotted in two different pictures.
What is happening here?
With one with Doc, and then another one with Carol Baskin at two different VMA performances.
Least surprising thing ever.
Yeah, Britney Spears, she's in on it. All right.
Sliwa, take it away. Sliwa, good luck to you.
It's all you, man. Have
Did
a good
Carol
show.
Did Carol do it? 877-710-ESPN.
That is
Mount Rushmore of Tiger King.
Mount Rushmore of Tiger King characters. Carol Baskin got to be there. Exotic Joe got to be there. Then it's pretty wide open.
Then it's hard. Yeah.
Then it's
tough.
Real. That's where it gets tough. All right. Slee was next. See you tomorrow. 2:55 sharp, 710 ESPN.